pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And long may she wave.
Thank you. Okay, welcome to the March 3rd, 2021 meeting of the Lyman Planning Board. This meeting will come to order. This is a public proceeding, and unless the board specifically votes to go into executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said and to look at all the exhibits that are offered. If the board votes to go into executive session, the reason for the same shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you are having difficulty seeing or hearing. In each instance, the burden is upon the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works from a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in the following order. 7 o'clock. Any outstanding planning board business, discuss Harrison Lane subdivision, discuss shoreline zoning amendment, schedule public hearing for zoning changes, sign site plans, inquiry regarding a conditional use permit from 2008, review and approve minutes, and then any new business and open issues. So are you part of the agenda or?
This is Craig and Yvette Woodman from, they have a house being built on Harrison Lane, and that's the reason why that's the first thing on the agenda.
Okay, so let's go into that.
Okay.
So what's the deal here?
Mr. Chair, I move that Mr. Kelly Demers be recognized as a full voting member for tonight's meeting.
A second.
Any discussion on that? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thanks, Kelly. Oh, we should introduce ourselves. Why don't we do that?
Kelly Demers.
Joe Wagner, 26 Day Road.
Mike Rackwell, 21 Murphy's Way.
Don Hernan, 33 Murphy's Way. Coincidence.
Cecile Dupuy, Chapel Shores Road.
Paul Boucher, 88 Old Pump Road.
Okay, so what's the deal here?
So, Mr. and Mrs. Woodman came in and got a permit to build their house on Lot 1 on Harrison Lane.
Okay.
They put the footings in and had a mortgage survey, and the mortgage survey, the person doing the survey, said it's a 45-foot setback where 75 is required. However, I don't think 75 is required. And we kind of took almost a week to arrive at this. When I looked at the ordinance, I looked at today's ordinance, but we did those lots as back lots.
Right.
So when I finally had the epiphany to look at the back lot section of last year's ordinance, not this year's, because
okay,
we changed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I remember that. Yeah.
So in 2019, when this subdivision was approved, for back lots, it says private easements for the purpose of constructing, maintaining, and using access roads do not create road frontage for a back lot and are not subtracted from the road frontage or lot area of a lot on a public or private road. We do have that statement that says setbacks are measured from the property lines.
Uh-huh.
And that easement, they own the land where the easement
right
passes. They did submit their site plan showing they were 108 feet to the other side of the easement.
Okay.
So 50 feet of that
is easement.
Right. Which I looked at and approved. So I feel like by my doing that, we take some ownership in it.
Okay.
At first, I was really upset thinking I made a big mistake.
Yeah.
But I think after looking at that back lot
standard, we shouldn't
standard,
be counting that anyway.
Right. But I was looking at today's ordinance, not last year's, when we did that
right
subdivision.
Why did we, okay, just to refresh my memory, why did we change that? Why do we recommend changing that?
The back lot standards? We
yeah,
took
I mean,
the back lot standards right out of the ordinance and
yeah
put them in the street design
yes
ordinance.
Right.
So that section was taken out.
Okay.
It wasn't changed, it was just moved to.
Right.
It was just moved.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, So it, doesn't, it sounds like it doesn't, it, they really, they don't have an issue, do they? Or?
I don't think so. Right. And we were, so last, a year ago, they gave me a site plan on an amended subdivision plan that didn't come to the planning board.
Oh, okay.
And I talked to the engineer, and he's like, I did this amendment. I don't know why it didn't get turned into the planning board, but that's April of 2020.
Yeah.
When COVID hit.
Yeah,
right.
And we didn't have a meeting for 3 months, and so we finally realized that's the reason why it didn't come in.
Okay.
But I don't think it makes a difference.
No, it sounds like it doesn't. If we don't count the easement, then they're more than the, what, 75 feet?
Right, they're 108 feet to the property line.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's realistic to say you've got to move the footing. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you've got it in the ground, right?
Right, right.
No, that's a big deal.
The ordinance justifies that. It took me, I really kind of panicked, and I don't think well when I get in that position. So it took me about 3 days to remember that I had to go back to the other ordinance.
So how do we, what action do we need to take here?
I don't know if you need to take one. I don't know if you want to look at the amended plan.
Where is that?
Actually, we would.
I think we should look at it.
I don't know if it makes a difference to...
Is it right here?
So I'll point out. I'm glad there's no camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the amended plan.
All right. Stay where you are, 6 feet apart, one at a time. Take a number.
So here's the plan we approved.
This one.
Yep, that's the one we signed. And this is the area we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the amended plan showing that area as a suggested building envelope.
Okay.
Which meets our ordinance.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It just never came in. And I don't know that we need to do this.
Well, I think it's better for the homeowner because if they sell the property, conceivably, somebody could raise an issue, couldn't they? I mean,
well, I'm going to give a letter saying why it's okay.
Okay.
I remember us asking what that was back then.
Yes. Yeah. I think we did talk about it.
We did talk about it. I remember it specifically because I remember hearing from Liam.
Because this is upland.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be 75 feet from here, it'd be back in the wetlands.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And the lot line's over here somewhere.
It's right here. Wait a minute.
No, right there.
No, the road goes right here, so now it goes right through Progressive Lane.
I think the lot line is right here.
I don't think so. Then this lot line here? Or maybe I'm looking at it wrong. I don't know.
This is lot 3, I think.
Yeah.
That's lot 1. See these?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's correct. The,
Sorry to put my back to you guys.
Yeah, that's the lot line right there. Double dash.
Yep.
Single dash is the edge. It just happens that the lot line is at the edge of the road.
So, but their footing is right somewhere in here then.
Right.
It's got to be. I mean, that.
It is. Yep. It's 45 feet from here.
From there, this way.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we ought to. Do we want to? Sounds like maybe what we ought to do is to
sign
vote
notes.
And approve this, and then.
And then
this
that
is
makes
a record.
It, yep.
That way they don't have an issue. Somebody does a title search later, you sell the property, then it's all there, and you don't have to worry about it.
Any vote necessary to acknowledge and...
There should be a vote,
okay. And
we would need, so that's the only copy of that I have.
Right.
We would probably need them to take that and record it and bring us back a copy.
Yes
definitely. You want to have, it should be recorded in the York County courthouse, I would assume.
That may be, I may have a copy of that in here.
And somebody will still have to take it and get it recorded.
Yep.
But we could keep a copy and you could take one and get it.
Yeah, that protects you to get it recorded.
So do we need to put some history attached? But you said you might write a letter or something, but just for the and to document or some of the questions why we have two.
It's going to go in the... Because we've had amendments before.
Yeah.
And that's... written up as an amendment to that subdivision.
Okay.
The minutes should, it will go in the file. Get it. Yep. Yep.
leave that, she can have it.
So there's two copies.
Today is the third.
March 3rd.
I think the letter should be recorded as well.
Complicated way of explaining it.
I think the letter should be recorded as well as the revised plan, that way someone like me comes up and goes.
I don't even know if a letter, I don't even know if the registry will record a letter.
Oh, God, yes.
But that will cover it.
Yeah, with the notation that the setback's been approved and.
So get some motion to acknowledge and approve the adjustment to the subdivision plan. Does that suffice?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous? I'll just sign both copies here.
Can I pass it down?
Yeah, whatever, however it's easier.
We'll go this way and then we'll go.
Okay.
We'll zig and then we'll zag.
Okay, that's good.
Did you sign?
Yeah, it's good to, when you record this, my only suggestion is to make sure that they put the amended plan with the original plan, or ask them to.
It makes reference right on there to the amended, to the original plan.
Okay.
And the date of the original plan.
Okay, so it should be okay.
That was the intention, a year ago.
Yeah. Well, this way it's squared away. We don't want to have you, well, it's a lot of expense to build a home anyway, you don't want to be messing around with moving something.
It was quite a phone call from the surveyor that Monday morning.
Rude awakening, huh?
I can understand that. It's not a fun thing. We have their name for the record.
Yes.
There we go.
Go over the head, so, thank you.
Is there anything else here we need?
No, and I'll take those after the meeting, I'll take them back.
Oh, we're signing two of them.
Yep.
Thank you for coming. That's why you always sit there.
Do you want to take one of these and have it recorded at the registry? And then just bring us the book and page. All right.
Good, was there anything else we can do for you, or?
No, I think that was one we were looking for. We're happy, we're hoping to move down here and have the house done sometime in July.
Good.
Awesome.
Well, welcome to one, yes.
We live in Bristol right now, up on Midcoast. I work for GWI in Biddeford, I do software development and whatnot for them. So this is a little closer to work for me.
Good deal, nice.
It's kind of a little dream for us to, replace my wife's parents' farm that she had to sell when they passed, and this is 10 acres. It's not quite as big as hers was. Hers was 120, but this is our own little piece of right on the stream there. We're looking forward to just being a part of the community here.
We're in the middle of a reassessment, so you're probably
be kind.
You may get a high assessment. We don't have anything, Joe. We're not on the anything to do with the assessment, but I'm saying the town's in the middle of that. And it may be that I usually say if it's a business, we hope you get a high assessment so you pay a lot of taxes. But for a house, I hope it's a fair assessment.
I'm sure it will be. We'll see. Yeah. But I really fell in love with the lot and the neighborhood. And we haven't driven around much down here. You guys all gave us your addresses. And I'm sitting here trying to figure out where that is. I can kind of make it in from 111 pretty
yeah.
good.
That's about it.
I can find our builder who lives in Dayton. That's about it. But we're looking
good.
Forward to getting to know more people. And
yeah.
It's a good little town.
It is.
It seems to be. From what we've seen so far, it's been great. So.
And there's always openings on different boards.
Yeah. That's right. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Be nice to see you around.
It's good to serve. And
good.
It's good to be part of the community. So. With that, I think we'll just let you get on to other business because we've got an hour and
thank
a half
you.
Back
thank
us.
You.
Yeah, well, I'll drive safely.
Thank you.
Good
you.
To see you.
Nice to meet everybody.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Pat. You're welcome.
All right. Okay, what else we got here? Okay, discuss proposed amendments to shoreland zoning ordinance regarding docks.
Can I knock out the minutes first? Is that better?
We can do, I'm sorry, you want to do minutes?
No, I don't know.
Oh, that's all right. You can do whatever you want.
Doesn't matter to me.
It's all the same. Let's do that. Let's just go through and do this. The dock one, Patty made a brilliant presentation before the select board on Monday.
Yes, I watched it. Good job.
And no, I sat and listened to it. I didn't do anything, but they didn't seem to have any particular questions, but she added a couple of diagrams in here.
Thanks to Kelly, who helped me find them.
That was good.
Hey, it's what we do.
So let's take a quick look through it and see if there's anything we have any questions on and then decide what we want to do with it. And we're just adding a definition, which is dock means a single platform used to for access to a water body or to secure, protect, and provide access to a boat. The platform may extend from a shore over the water body, or may be a floating platform attached to a mooring. The term dock includes a boat lift. And then that was the definition section. Then in section 15.C, yes. Dock wharf section. The owner, yeah, this is the one I think that was in there already.
No, it is not in there.
Okay, well, this is
all additional.
Eliminates an issue here. The owner of an easement or right of way leading to or touching upon a water body does not have the right by implication to construct a dock on the easement or right of way or use the easement or right of way to facilitate the construction of a dock on the water body. If the instrument granting or reserving the easement or right-of-way does not expressly include the right to construct a dock on the easement or right-of-way, my gosh,
I know.
Or the right to use the easement or right-of-way to facilitate the construction of a dock on the water body. In other words, you got to have specific permission in the deed or the agreement or the whatever. That covers that area to be able to, you can't just go down there because like we had some subdivision and it had a common area. And if you then, you know, conceivably, I guess you could have 10 different docks if you didn't have something like this in there. So
exactly.
You got to have permission.
I like it.
And then there's the examples of the diagrams to make it a little clearer. So does anybody have any questions?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
Well, okay. I think we're asking the same thing. I mean, I'm going to assume by the diagrams given, which is obvious, you know, T versus U versus a single.
Right.
I'm assuming a single dock would include the part of the dock that would actually physically attach to land connected to the part that would actually float on the water. You know, you can't just have a piece of board sticking out from the land and sitting in the water. It's got to float on something. You know, and something has to be attached to the shore, so you're not stepping in
not
the water.
Not necessarily by this definition.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Or maybe a floating platform attached to a mooring. It's more if you hook a dock, if you hook a boat up to it, it's a dock, whether it touches the land or not.
No, I get that part. And I think that part is specifically trying to delineate between a floating platform out attached away from the shoreline, that's a dock because it's attached to a mooring, versus an apparatus that comes from the shore out that you would moor a boat to as well, that you could walk off and walk on the land. What I'm talking about is is a dock that would have a part, I mean, I guess not to split hairs, but I think it's worth splitting hairs because people may ask this question is, if you have a gangway that touches on top of the part that floats in the water, but it's part of a single, straight, single dock and not a T or a U that you can put multiple boats on.
Come like that?
Similar, yeah,
yes.
Pretty much. You know,
does that constitute
a single structure?
Yeah.
So in other words,
yes.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, you know, I think the purpose of this is to say, hey, if you're going to put a T-dock, then you can put a jet ski over here, and you can put a, you know,
that's more than one dock.
It's more than one dock. But if you have a single plank here, but, you know, part of it goes up and touches the shore where you anchor it, so it doesn't go floating away, mm-hmm. that's still considered a single dock.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Like, you mean, like, if you have sections?
Yes.
Yes.
So
no, that's
like
one
gangplank to get out.
Yeah.
To the dock.
Not a T in the sense of what
the dock has to be wide enough so that you have a couple people on it, it's not going to tip over.
Right.
So,
I mean, probably bigger.
Do we want to limit the size of that platform?
It's 6 feet. So 6 feet is the maximum width of a dock.
Okay.
Okay. So at the end of this, you could have a 6 foot width section.
As long as it isn't.
Not a T.
Right.
You can't have a T unless you have a double lock.
How do you not have a T?
No, you're thinking, I know what you're thinking of, Cecile. It's a T because you're looking at the outline of, you know, your gangway is narrower than your actual dock.
Right.
It's still a single structure. And that's my point is, it's not fair to say
it's hinged or whatever, so
you can't have a gangway touching your dock that's attached, you know, to your gangway, so it's attached to the shore.
Okay.
You can't, I mean, what if you had 10 feet of, you know, vertical space till you get to your water. You know, it's like you can't just expect, you know, you have to get down there somehow.
You have to get down,
you know,
yeah.
A set of stairs or a gangway.
Right.
That's my point is, you know,
but
that constitutes a single structure.
The dock could be 4 feet or 3 feet wide and then go out and go to 6 feet wide.
Right, yeah.
That would be okay, as long as it's a straight shot. It
right.
doesn't have a T at the
exactly.
end. No T and no bend, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that, otherwise you got to have a double lock.
Correct.
Right.
And I think that's what this is delineating is,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
multiple
right.
docks versus
right. Right.
a single dock.
Right.
But having a gangway attached to it is not.
One of the things I was reading in research in Lunenburg, do we have a minimum dock width requirement?
Yes.
A minimum.
No, we don't.
We don't.
Minimum.
Because one of the things I was researching is they actually suggest 6 feet the minimum. Because if you start getting like a 3 foot floating dock, the potential for it to flip
yes.
is much easier when
that's
you have
people. That's what I was concerned
yeah.
about,
yeah.
Yeah. It just...
Ours is a maximum of 6 feet
six
wide.
Feet. Yeah.
And so, I think Chapter 1000, which is what we have to, our goal, we can't be any less restrictive. Chapter 1000 is the state shoreline zoning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe theirs is a 6 foot wide maximum.
Yeah.
So we can't be any less restrictive.
Yeah.
And I, just on that note, I emailed this to DEP and they said this proposed change is consistent with Chapter 1000.
Okay.
We like
that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, is there any other discussion on this?
Are we going to pay a public hearing for this?
Yeah, we have to, well, we got, is there another one too?
Mm-hmm.
Commercial design standards. We already voted on that?
Yeah, we voted that.
Yeah.
We voted on that last meeting, right?
A few meetings ago.
Yeah, a couple meetings. Okay. So when? How much notice do you need on this?
Oh, and I was going to look that up. Right.
I think our next meeting is scheduled 17th. For the
17th.
Ah, St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I have to wear my green shirt. I won't bring Guinness, but I might think about it.
Shucks.
We need 10 days, so if we schedule it for the next meeting, I have to get it brayed out.
Well, is that okay for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think...
Yeah, the sooner the better.
Well, we need it to the selectmen by the first
yeah, we better
week
get it done.
In April.
That's right, that was
yeah,
the
so
issue.
We get
yeah,
on.
Get out, getting the meeting.
And we don't want to fool around.
In case we have to make changes.
So, let me review this. Okay, so we're gonna schedule a public hearing then on the 17th, which would cover the dock and the commercial design.
Do we want to make contingents on overflow crowd or?
Oh gosh, I hope not. It's possible.
It is, but it's early in the year before the summer residents come in.
Oh boy.
But we could do the Zoom meeting.
We could do that. We could request that for the public hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if that information was put out on the website, then people will know.
Yeah.
Because I think they were prepped up to do that.
Is there a lot of interest among the pond people in this?
I don't.
Oh, no, probably. I would think.
I would think so, if they heard about it.
Yeah. I would think so.
Do we want to do 6:30 or 6:45?
6:30.
Yeah.
We got two of them. And as long as we set it so that we can continue into the meeting afterwards if we want to.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll do it at 6:30 on the 17th. Okay.
So I'm not sure how to. We're going to have to resolve an issue with the Zoom meeting before we have somebody.
Yes, before we can
that.
Have a Zoom
what
meeting.
Issue?
We can't talk about it right now,
okay.
I guess, unless we go to executive session. Even then, we shouldn't talk about it.
We shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how to answer that.
I'll have to check with the selectmen.
Okay, fine. Well, let's put it this way. If we can do a Zoom meeting, let's do a Zoom meeting. Otherwise, we still could have a public hearing, but we wouldn't have very much capacity. What is the capacity now? I mean, is there a stated number?
I don't know where we're at right now.
We have
I'll
to be
find
able
out.
To be 6 feet apart, so, right?
I don't know what the latest mandate is.
Maybe you could ask.
Yep.
So in other words, if it's 20 people, including the members, that would be a number. We need to know what the number is, and then, I don't know what we're going to do. We could open the windows, but you don't know what the weather's going to be like, but that's not a very good option. We don't want to go, I hope we don't, we could go to the fire station again, but that is a pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. Not a pain in the neck, it worked for that one public hearing, but it's a bit of effort to do that. I thought it was pretty good for that one, but we knew we were going to have a big crowd. This one, we don't know.
This one's
could
a toss-up.
Could we, in our notice, could we request people to, like, pre-register if they're going to attend? Just give their name or,
not really.
Because they would have a count.
Well, they could come at the last minute, especially
right.
Seated or standing.
I know it's not the norm to do that, but.
Well, I would suggest that if.
I'm going to try to find out about Zoom first.
Okay.
And then.
We want to set the only other thing we could do if this is an issue would be to, when we put the public notice on, saying, I don't know, back secondary date is such and such if we want to do that. I don't know.
You mean like carryover? Like if we couldn't?
Yeah, like we used to do that for snow days or something, like for sidewalks.
Well, and we're just running out of time.
I know. We don't want to mess up this thing. We want to get it done before the time limit for getting on the warrant. So maybe you could find out about the Zoom meeting and then if there's an issue, I guess we can try to figure it out. But you have to post this right away, and you could.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a tomorrow project, I think.
Okay. And that'll cover the dock and the commercial design. Okay.
I've been checking on another question. I know you said that the maximum width is 6 feet. Do we have a maximum length?
Yeah, I was going to ask
same
thing.
So.
Yeah. That's a variable depending on the depth of the water that you need to safely dock your boat. So if you're in a shallow, if you have a shallow shore, then you'll have to go out farther. I think that's how that works.
Right? It says, the facility shall be no larger in dimension than necessary to carry on the activity and be consistent with the surrounding character and uses of the area. A temporary pier, dock, or wharf shall not be wider than 6 feet for non-commercial uses. So really, it shall be no larger than necessary. It goes out until you get your boat to it.
Okay.
And that's, everybody else's will be about the same because the water depth.
All right. Yeah. Does it have to, not to split hairs, but there's always somebody that will exploit it.
Yeah.
Should it say
long enough or dimensions necessary to get access to one boat? Or is there multiple boats, or does it, I mean,
what if, no, I don't think we should go that far.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't think so either, you know, I don't think anybody's going to put out a 30-foot dock, you know, necessarily, but.
No, I don't know. Someone's going to try to put in a 40-foot sailboat with a 7-foot keel on there.
Yeah.
And maybe halfway across the pond then.
We do have people that put docks, I mean, they're floating docks out too far, and when you're trying to drive your boat, you.
You run into them?
Well, you could, you know, you have to go.
We don't regulate those yet.
Yeah.
Those are all.
Is that considered a dock? It's not, because it, there's no access.
A swim raft?
Right, a swim raft, yeah.
Yeah. We don't regulate those.
And that's why those should be regulated, because those are dangerous. And sometimes they get a little farther and farther out.
Yeah.
Well, you're not talking about one that would be anchored with a mooring, though, right? Because a swim platform, I thought, is considered a dock if it's moored to an anchor.
Could be.
That's what I was interpreting this to say.
Could be, yeah. Could be, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe a floating platform. A floating platform
floating
is a swim dock.
Floating platform is that, isn't it? I mean.
Attached to a mooring. That's what I interpreted it as.
Maybe a floating. Yeah, that could be. Could be. Well,
you know.
I don't know.
We can always amend it later or add on.
Well,
I think it's.
So I think you got to read the whole thing. Dock means a single platform used for access to a water body or to secure, protect, and provide access to a boat.
Mm-hmm.
The platform may extend from a shore over the water body or may be a floating platform attached to a mooring. So
okay,
they're
so
talking
specifically
about,
talking about a boat.
Right, so
okay.
if there's no boat attached to it, I think a swim platform is different than a dock.
I would think so, but there's no regulation on swim platforms right now.
Some towns have it,
but we don't.
Most don't, and we don't.
Well, have you had any complaints about swim platforms? No news is no news.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think, I mean, I've heard complaints on Wadley Pond from some people that have put, especially in the narrow parts, you know, they have to put them out far because they're shallow, close
mm-hmm.
to shore. But they put them out there for the, you know, for their kids or company to dive and swim out there. But if you're driving your boat, you know, you don't have much space in the narrow part.
Well, the problem here is, you know, we're not regulating it anyways right now, but as a swim platform. But I could say, well, that's my boat, but I'm using it for swimming because I don't have a boat attached to it right
yeah,
now.
That's true.
So it's a swim platform.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's not, I mean, I think we have something that helps somewhat if there's enough, if there are complaints, which we don't have any, then we could modify this if we, you know, if there's.
Well, she said there are complaints. So.
Well, we didn't
they
get
don't,
any.
So
yeah, no,
it
I'm
does,
saying, right.
I don't know, are you getting them, Pat?
No,
you're not, okay, all right. So this is just, yeah,
well, there's
people,
always going to be, unfortunately, there's always going to be somebody, probably, that's going to cause an issue. And if there's no association there that monitors that?
No.
See, that's the issue, there's no. Well, I think this is fine for what we're trying to do. If someone can come with some brilliant wording, if this turns into an issue, we can always modify this, or try to modify this next year if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my approach. I mean, I think we need to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're sort of
agreed.
Down to.
On the books is better than nothing on the books.
Yeah,
I think
it's
going to help.
People are planning on replacing their docks, upgrading their docks, and all of a sudden we have a pitchfork out there, and no, you can't do it because we have adopted this.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So people are grandfathered until they
yes.
have to replace that. Then they need to get a permit and.
Right.
So
that means nobody will replace
be by
anything.
This rule. Yeah. They can't.
Well, I think the way grandfathering works, you're able to repair, replace, and maintain what you had before
yeah.
an ordinance was changed.
Okay.
Right.
As long
so,
as it doesn't
right.
increase in size
right.
or change location or.
Right.
So you're good to what you had.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so in other words, they would not be able to replace it with that.
No.
Right.
No, they'd have
if
to.
If they have it now,
they'd be okay.
I think
if they
would.
Have it now.
If they
yes.
have it now, they can. Okay.
Which is going to be a whole other
yeah.
well, problem. But
right.
we're trying to, the more we, without a definition of a dock, it's hard to say, no, just because it's this far from the shore,
right.
and you step from the shore to the dock, doesn't make it a floating platform. It's still a dock. You have boats moored tied to it, which I spent a lot of time on last year. So this just helps people understand what...
Yeah, what's a dock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It helps you too, which is good.
Well, yeah. I think it's decent. Okay, is there any, do we need a vote on this? We've already voted on this?
I don't think we need to vote. We just play it?
We got to do a public hearing first. Okay, we've got a public hearing coming up. And on 17th at 6:30 for both of these amendments. Mm-hmm. And that's that. Okay, now.
Do we want to have the commercial zoning first? That should be simple. I don't see much public participation in that. Hey, we don't want strip malls that look flat. So I think
can decide that night, I think. Because we're going to post them together, so.
That sounds reasonable. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to this. What's this inquiry? Yeah, I think you sent something out on this requiring a conditional use permit from, this is that one about...
MX-207.
MX-207, yeah.
So we did talk about that last week.
Right.
And I gave you all the draft of it.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Maybe just delete the number 7 there.
Seven.
Finding of facts. Yeah, number 7 needs to be deleted.
Oh, yep.
And on number 5 says, request a form recognition. Is that the right word? MMA suggested the landowner request a form recognition.
Formal.
Leo. You're right on the ball, Lucille. I'm sorry, Cecile. I knew somebody needs.
Nice time to leave me.
Kenny Rogers. That's Lucille Paul.
Yeah. Some of you guys are pretty damn old, aren't you?
Rabbit ears with tinfoil, 3 channels.
Another findings and conclusions, is that supposed to say renewal in 10 years has been eliminated by that repeal?
Yes.
Okay.
We talked about this last week. There was a 2008 conditional use that had a 10-year renewal requirement, but we don't have conditional use permits anymore.
Right. Change the ordinance.
Yeah. Just jumping on to the minutes. Patty, you did mention that they do hire private ambulance service for big events.
Yep.
Right.
Other than, I don't know what the term is, big or small event, have there been many calls for tending to injuries over there during their less than big events?
I don't have a report on the number.
I know in the past when I was on the fire commission there had been some, but if the fire chief isn't, you know, if there's no comments particularly from them, I don't see that that's an issue. They are supposed to have their own ambulance, but you know, that place has always been a little. I don't have Mercedes on tape. I guess I should say it's sometimes they seem to like they were stretching the rules a bit in their types of events. I don't know what they're doing now with COVID. Whether they're still doing large events with a lot of people doing things and or not, but.
I'd just like to see that there is an understanding that when they do have large events, that it is their responsibility to have ambulance service on site.
The fire chief, previous fire chief and I and Marcel have done 2 safety inspections. We try to voluntary ones because there's nothing requiring us, requiring them to let us do that. Mm-hmm. So we talked about those things and they do have the private ambulance service on site for the bigger events, but I don't know, I can't remember if they have them for all events or just the ones that attract more people. But I haven't had any complaints from the fire department about, and we do try to communicate about that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so does anyone have we have a couple of minor changes then? Just those 2 type of situation.
Yeah. We can still, like we do, we can still vote on it.
Sure.
And get it fixed.
Yeah.
Is there a motion? Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve the letter as amended.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Any further discussion on this MX-207?
No.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Okay. Okay. You're up. Okay. Do we have any other? You had on here site plans. Was that for?
So we have a number of site plans that we've approved and forgotten to sign the site plan.
Oh.
Which we can, I have the notice of decision so that we have the date.
Right.
And I have the plan. We can, I don't know that we need a motion to do that because we have already approved these, mm-hmm. but we could do them after.
Sure. Yeah. Well, but when we sign them, we probably should put today's date on it when you sign it. Is that going to mess the records up?
I think we should sign it with the date we approved it.
Okay, date. All right, okay.
Yeah, that wouldn't mess up.
As long as it's okay.
And that's why I brought the notice of decision with me.
Gotcha, that's good. Okay, you have monthly report and is there minutes too?
Yep. I didn't recopy the minutes because I think we looked at them, but...
Yeah, I read them. Well, let's see, let's do this planning board report. Did you have that handy? It's right there, your file.
I emailed them. I didn't make another copy.
Okay, I'll read it real quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty short.
Planning board report for the month of February 2021. The board held two meetings in February. The board reviewed one application during this time, the application of Hill View Mini Barns on Map 7, Lot 86, located at 1520 Alfred Road, was approved. The application is to expand the outdoor sales display area. The board discussed two proposed zoning changes, one to add commercial building design standards, another to add the definition of a dock, and to add additional information about docks on a right-of-way. Respectfully submitted, Donald Herman, Vice Chairman. Anybody have any changes they want to make to this? Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Sign. Okay. And let's see, we had the minutes, which are...
Right.
Did everybody get a chance to read those?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I added what you asked me to add.
Oh, I didn't send it to everybody because it was a very minor change. I asked to indicate that Michelle...
Felicetti, yes.
Recorded the meeting because I was reading the things over and I should have said something sooner, but it was fine. The minutes are fine, but then I noticed that somewhere in here, I think somewhere we had her, we commented about her name, but we never said she was there. So I just thought we ought to add the fact that she was, in fact, present. Okay. Is there a motion to approve these?
I make a motion to accept the minutes of February 17th, that's right.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, three. Now today is the third.
No, just, I noticed on the website that it says February 17th minutes, but when you click on it, it says February 3rd.
Hmm.
I think it's either, it must be pointing to the wrong document.
Okay, I don't have any control over that.
Somebody
anymore.
Else does it.
Yeah, so I'll send it past
the
email. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why, I was out there looking for something else and I just clicked on it, so that.
Do you get the February 3rd or?
Yes, when you click, it says minutes February 17th, and when you click on that, the document you get says February 3rd. So
okay.
I think it's the old document. I think it's a February 3rd document, not this one. Because the date on this one is okay. Right? That says the 17th.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Good for checking. Okay, is there any other business we have now?
I just gave a little synopsis of what I reviewed from that 2021 Wildland Urban Interface Code. And it's just what I was able to gather about what it was looking for. And I think we meet a lot of that with some ordinance changes like the sprinkler and subdivisions. Street design ordinances meets and exceeds the requirements of that code. And the other, the part of it that I, that's most different is the building standards for houses within that wildland urban interface area. Mm-hmm. Like, all exterior windows are tempered.
Yeah, that's
tempered.
Gonna be a huge cost benefit to a roof.
And an outside patio, porch.
With the deck, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be fireproof from the inside. Like, it's really extreme, I think. Mm-hmm. I can't see people going
for that. Unenclosed accessory structure such as deck shall have no less than 1 hour fire resistant rated construction.
Wow.
That does away with all your red cedar siding or red cedar decking. That's putting you up into epi or ironwood or, that's doing
cement,
away with
the cement
siding. Composite materials which can melt and be plastic.
Mm. And it's really, so that, as I was reading it, those standards are designed for people to shelter in place when there's a wildfire, to protect them for, and I think our focus should be getting the roads so fire trucks can get in there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, because when you read through his letter here, I mean, not that he's trying to veil something or anything, I'm not trying to say, but it's clear that when I read this, that's, I saw the exact same thing as you, which is that's made for, you know, people in rural areas where, you know, you're not going to build infrastructure for the fire department to get there, but, you know, until they can get there, but you got to be able to, you know, survive, you know, that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in fairness, I think he's kind of pointing out the fact that, you know, logging, kind of commercial logging stopped, you know, since the 1947 fires, per se, and, you know, we're seeing this huge development of land, but so is everybody else for that matter. And I agree 100% that instead of worrying about, you know, making sure that structures, you know, can survive a burn 15, I mean, this is
town
alive, not that far away, but I think to his point, and I think what you're right on the mark on is get the fire truck to get there quicker. You know?
And have water supplies.
And have water supplies.
That's where we should be focusing.
Exactly. Right. You know, making sure that, you know, fire trucks can get through and how wide enough they can turn around. Mm-hmm. All those things would have the same effect as, you know, requiring somebody to have a shelter that they can, you know, stay in while it's on fire until
somebody get splits
out. It out.
Yeah.
Right.
But the only place we have requirements for sprinkling now is on subdivisions.
Subdivisions, right.
Which
should be under construction. Right?
Well, haven't. We didn't vote. You know, we haven't.
We can't. That has to go to a town meeting vote.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not saying we should do it. I'm just saying the subdivision regulation we changed, right?
Right.
And subdivisions, anything more than three houses.
Three or more.
Okay.
And we always had that as an option, but we had, I think the reason I was explaining this to a developer today, we had three options: fire pond, which freezes in the winter, so it's not, it could freeze up in the winter.
Right, not the best idea.
Cisterns, which become a maintenance problem for the fire department.
Right.
And typically the subdivision should maintain them, but what if they don't?
Yeah.
And sprinklers was another one.
Yeah.
Some people chose sprinklers before, like Blackberry Lane, they sprinkled.
Mm-hmm.
Mackenzie, they sprinkled. If you weigh out the cost of a fire pond and cistern, spread it out over the houses, it could be similar.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the cost of sprinkler systems, unless you get the 1,000-gallon backup, battery backup, so on and so forth, at $28,000, I'm seeing a lot of sprinkler systems in place that as long as you still have electricity that's running your well, and you have, I think it's a 100-gallon tank to start off, you can get them for about $8,000.
And they have now, you don't even have the tank, it's just, if you get
from
electricity,
well.
It's just from your well into the system.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the only problem is you got to have electricity.
Yeah.
Well,
generators.
Yeah, and a lot of towns,
we have generators.
Yeah, right, you're in Lyman, you have a generator.
Yeah, Lebanon has almost all new houses are sprinkled. Large sections of wells are sprinkled. Large sections of Kittery are sprinkled. Back portions of Kennebunk are sprinkled. It's not, it's expected nowadays, if you're off town water, new construction, you kind of expect to see sprinklers.
And I think maybe this discussion can start us in that direction. Because I think that's not a bad idea.
No, mm-hmm.
What about the part where you talked about the impact fee ordinance?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't, in your packet, Mike, is a excerpt from MMA about impact fees, which I passed out last week.
Yeah, yes. Sort of a... I read that. It was very... There's a...
There's more to it than just saying...
There's a lot of control around it.
Right.
You have to... There's a lot of formulas that have to be in
place. Someone's
got
to manage the whole thing.
Yeah, right. To show where the money is being spent, and it has to be spent.
You have to justify it.
How do you... That's exactly what I was going to ask.
That will explain it very well, better than... Yep.
Yeah. Because it's not as easy as saying...
Well, do we want to... Do we want to ask him... I mean, we don't want to give him the... We don't want to give the impression. I don't think we are doing that, but... That we don't care about this. I mean,
no, I think we're just starting the conversation. Yeah. So I don't even know if we want to. I think I responded that we've done a lot of those things.
Yeah.
The sprinklers and the street design ordinance. Mm-hmm. But we just want to start the conversation. Maybe start talking about sprinklers in all homes. Mm-hmm. And although they're private roads, you know, talk about businesses on private roads.
Well, that's
another issue. Wanted us to talk about that.
They haven't given us the written directive yet that we asked for. But, mm-hmm. but so businesses, typically people go to work in the morning, they leave at night. Right. It's just as important that the houses where people sleep in, that fire trucks can get to them. Mm-hmm. And I think we really need to focus, and I think that's what he's asking us to do. And I don't know where that...
Well, the problem is with existing roads that are not up to standard or
and they're
or
private,
marginal, and
right.
they're private roads, and
I don't know how we.
The town isn't would be quite difficult for the town to take those roads and upgrade them just from a cost perspective. I'm not saying nobody would want to do it. I'm just saying the cost would be pretty high. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not sure what else. I guess I was going to suggest. I mean, at some stage we ought to ask him to come over, the deputy mm-hmm. chief, and maybe have a discussion just to say, okay, here's what we think, here's what's going on.
We should get some, I don't know where the selectmen are at, because they got this email too, so it's got to be like...
Oh yeah, we ought to be together. We shouldn't actually be nice if there was a joint meeting or something just to talk to them and say, okay, here's what we got. We've done some things, but going this all the way to this impact fee sounds a little bit extreme, but maybe there's some place in the middle on the road issue. I don't know how. Maybe some selectman has a brilliant idea, but all I see are dollar signs.
Yeah, well, once again, would it be wise for the board of selectmen to contact our congressperson about DOT or USDA grant money?
The only, I've been thinking about that because we talked about that at the last meeting. So there's a disconnect between public entities and private entities. A town cannot request grant money for a private road.
Okay.
So there's that. We can't spend public money on private property.
Right.
And there's a law that says that.
If it's designated a rural area, there would be no pass-through through the municipal government here. I can foresee residents of a particular area petitioning or applying for a grant if such
right.
program applied exists to see if they can get the dough to at least have the private road improved to such a point that emergency vehicles can get through. And I'd be surprised if a program like that did not exist, particularly through, I think, USDA. So.
It's probably in the new COVID relief bill, whatever. I don't know, maybe not. But.
We could get it in there.
I think what you said, Patty, is the right direction. You've got to be realistic about it. I mean, you know, towns aren't going to have the money to start redoing roads to get it in there. Okay. And a lot of the stuff that, you know, somebody wanted a new subdivision, great, you're going to have to build that road out anyways.
Which we addressed.
Right.
Right.
So we're covering that in new construction anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to have sprinkles in a house if it's a subdivision anyways. you know, but the minute you start requiring, you know, somebody wants to redo their house and they get, you know, the right permits, but, oh, by the way, now you got to build it with fire-resistant materials, and you just up the cost of your house 20 grand, you know, only to provide, protection for a matter of time before the fire's going to burn the house anyways if the fire department can't get there. That doesn't serve the purpose, I don't think.
And we don't, I know we had the 47 fire, and we see the fires in California and other states. I don't know that we have that many right now high fire danger days. It seems like we've had a few more. Last year it was dry.
Just going online to this International Urban Interface Code, the 10 states that they identified as being most vulnerable were not in there. Mm-hmm. And most of the municipalities that did adopt this are rural Arizona,
right,
out in the middle of
dry.
Yeah, as much as it's going to take some time for any fire apparatus to get out there. Mm-hmm. We don't have that situation.
Yeah, within 6 miles, we have how many different towns with fire departments?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we got Waterboro, Alfred, Arundel, Kennebunk, Bitterford.
Well, is there any, have we actually gotten any information from the fire department that there are locations in town that the current fire equipment cannot actually get there? Mm. In other words, we went to ladder truck, because the old ladder truck was too large to get down to some areas. Mm-hmm. So the new one is a smaller one. I know that from when I was on the fire commission. That we have and the chief there, they've got the long-term plan is to go to pumper tankers and to have a little more capacity to take to a fire. But I don't know of any place in town.
I know of one that I can think of.
That you cannot physically get any truck there? Or a pumper tanker?
Last winter. I think they fixed the road since last winter.
Okay.
But I was asked to do an inspection last winter on a road, and I'm not going to say what road it is.
Yeah, okay.
Get to the end of it, and it was so iced. It was thick ice, but it was starting to melt probably this time of year.
Sure.
And the ruts, I mean, they were deep. Big. And I pulled up to it, and I just...
couldn't get there.
Well, I wouldn't go any further. I backed up and turned around. It would have wrecked my car.
Sure, that wasn't...
No, it wasn't on your road. I actually tried on your road.
Wrecked my wife's car. My wife's car into the mailbox. I can tell you that much.
And what I did do though is called the fire department.
Yeah.
And asked if the forestry truck, because sometimes we do inspections together.
Oh, they could come with you or something.
Not realizing I was actually doing these people a service, that one of the fire department people came down with the forestry truck and picked me up and brought me out there, and he said, you know what? We can't get an ambulance down this road. Ooh. We can't get a fire truck down this road. Wow. So they made a note, mm-hmm, that if there was a call, they would take the forestry truck in and bring the people out.
Was it just one home?
There were...
a couple.
There is two now, but like I said, they've fixed the road since then. So, but if I hadn't done that, they wouldn't know.
No, that's right. Good. That's
so,
right.
But...
is
that
there
was
a way
one
that we
case
can come up with some type of incentive? I know when I bought my house, I actually got a big discount on my homeowner's insurance policy because I am 1 mile from the fire department.
Right.
So if there's a way that there could be a record kept of the hazardous houses and a notification sent that your house is potentially outside fire service area into this...
We adopted that street design ordinance, so as people are building further in on these roads, they have to upgrade. Now they have to upgrade.
Yeah.
So.
The road going in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, anyway, is there anything more we want to talk about here?
I just want to toss out, there was a program I heard about some time ago, FireWise, I think. I remember the chief over at Waterboro was promoting it. And essentially it was taking stock of your property and within, say, a 5-foot envelope around, make sure that the vegetation is such that it doesn't jeopardize the property if there is a fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It doesn't provide fuel, which would probably require me to take down four trees right now.
Yeah.
But would that be something that Harris like to pursue? Promote that in the town.
Right. If you're going to cut a tree, you want to do something, you got to, you know, follow, you know, I forget the term they use for it, but it's what you talk about. It's not. It's managing
best your management practices for.
Well, it's managing your landscape to prevent fueling a fire.
That's right. But that would be an are you suggesting an informational program or something that's in an ordinance?
No, not an ordinance, but
because there is some of that in that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't be in the ordinance down the road, but I don't think that that's. I think education more than anything. I mean, I think if people knew that they could do a few things to their property to prevent their house from burning down if a fire ever hit their property, I'd want to know about it.
It would probably be on the state level, but it would be great to have some kind of an audit program, just like they do with your energy, you know, in some states.
Oh, it would give you
gives you an energy audit. They come in and look at your home and tell you where you can improve.
Mm-hmm.
And replace windows and stuff like that, and then sometimes you can get to get these like very low interest loans and no interest loans to do this.
Or you can get a rebate sometimes. Like
a program like that would be good, and people would be,
But I see most of what this says, you know, the International Wildlife Urban Interface Code, you know, to adopt something like that or a portion of it. I don't know if it would provide a bigger benefit than doing what we already do now, and then maybe a little extra to, you know, either education or material that, you know, is available to the townspeople that could help them understand, you know. I mean, seriously, anybody that owns a house in this town ought to be able to, whether you live in an association or not, you should be looking at your property saying, geez, if something really did happen, can I get an ambulance down here? Can I get a fire truck down here?
Yeah.
And if I don't think I can, I want to go to my town and ask. You know, and what can we do about it? And the answer to that question is going to be varied, but at least you're asking the question and you're getting some results on it. That people should be doing that. But
so, and on the flip side of that, when we give driveway, because now we have a driveway requirement, I get, you know, why are you telling me how to build my driveway? If I want to build 500 feet up in and a fire truck can't get there, what do you care?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it happens, but not very often, but there are those people that just...
It's a great answer. We care for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when something happens, you're going to come to me and sue the town saying, how can you then make my driveway?
People start looking for the guilty, search for the guilty. Then.
Exactly.
Okay, well, so I think we've talked about this. Is it appropriate for you to talk to Ben Harris and say, hey, we've discussed this, and tell him where we are, and if he wants to come and meet with us, but I think it would be more efficient if it was a meeting with the selectmen, too, as long as...
Right, because he emailed us and the selectmen, so it should be...
Not to waste his time, and also probably get different answers and different... So if he wants to promote a joint meeting, I mean, I would say we could do that, but as long as the selectmen... And are on board on that. Mm-hmm. Select board's on board. Huh? That'd be my suggestion. Anyway.
No, it doesn't hurt.
Okay, so what else do we have?
I just got one question. Then it deals with parliamentary procedure.
Okay.
Is it appropriate and allowed for an alternate to make a motion or second a motion? They can't vote on it.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. I've been thinking, I'd have to go pull up my...
That's a good point.
I don't think it's in the bylaws.
Yeah. I was just curious because sometimes it's like, I'd like to speak up about it. You know, it's like,
you should speak up though, whether you're.
I don't think we've.
I'm not afraid to speak my mind.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever limited discussion. But I think if you're not a voting member, I don't know that you should be able to make a motion.
But you could suggest the motion, and then someone else could pick it up, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Someone else could do it.
An alternate that hasn't been voted in?
An alternate that has not been voted in. Okay. Like if you wanted to say, hey, I got a great idea, let's make a motion on this.
Right.
I mean, I've got like four different versions of Robert's Rules of War, so.
Well, it's a great idea when it was picking it up.
For now, I'll just pass you a note.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I actually used Robert's Rules of War when I was in Biddeford. Shut up, the town still up and down.
Okay, does anybody else have anything they want to bring up?
I just have mail. Does anybody want the latest legislative bulletin or Maine Town and City?
Let's do it.
No.
Okay.
I don't want it. Thank you. Got enough stuff.
All right.
Okay, well, and if that's all we want to talk about, then I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned at whatever time it is.
8:04.
8:04.
Well, that's the longest meeting we've had.